We're doing the Ein Yaakov. We're up to page Ayin Vav Amid Beis in the standard editions, which is Daf Mem Vav in the Talmud. It should say page 152 on the top right corner. And we had discussed that the proper etiquette is that the host slices the bread, he gives out the meat, he gives out the things that the guest would be embarrassed to take a large portion. So the host is supposed to divide them so that he ensures that he gives the guest the portion he might otherwise be embarrassed to take for himself. And when we bench, when we say Birkat HaMazon, so then the guest is supposed to lead the benching so that in his benching he will bless the host. And the Gemara says, Mai Mevarech, what blessing is he supposed to give his host? And the Talmud tells us a blessing which is printed in some Sidurim and in some benchers, and it's correct to say it. It appears in Shulchan Aruch. The guest gives the following blessing. He says, Yehi Ratzon, may it be the will before heaven, Shelo Yivosh Baal HaBayit Ba'olam Hazeh, that the host shouldn't be embarrassed in this world, Velo Yikalem La'olam Haba, and he should not be shamed in the world to come. The Rebbe Mosif Ba'advarim, and Rebbe would add the following, he would say, V'yitzlach Me'od B'chol Nechasav, and he should be very successful in his assets, in his properties. V'yu Nechasav U'Nechaseinu Mutzlachim U'Krovim La'ir, and his properties and our properties should be successful and close to the city. Meaning sometimes you have properties, you have to travel, and then even if they're successful, you end up losing because you're losing time with your family, you're losing time from Torah, it's a toil. So it's not only about success, it's also about travel time. Ve'al yishlot satan v'maaseh yadav u'v'maaseh yadeinu, and Satan should not take hold of his business or our business. Ve'al yizdakel lo lefanav lo lefaneinu shum dvar hiruhuchet, and he shouldn't happen upon, we shouldn't happen upon, any thought of sin, va'avera, va'avon, different forms of sin, ma'ata va'ad olam, from now till forever. And here we see our attitude to business. On the one hand, in Judaism, we want to be successful. We don't strive to be poor. We don't look at poverty as the end of the world. But we also don't strive to be poor. It's good to be well off. There's nothing wrong with it. It's challenging. And when we bless the host that he be successful, we include in the blessing a wish that he shouldn't be shamed in the world to come, because sometimes a person's wealth is his doom. A person's wealth is his ultimate failure. It causes him to lose out. His children sometimes don't turn out as he'd like. His friends sometimes aren't true friends. Sometimes wealth can stand in one's way from attaining true happiness, but it doesn't have to be that way. Wealth is a gift. It's a responsibility. We honor people who have wealth, the halacha says. We're supposed to give him a certain honor. God entrusted him with responsibilities to humanity. God gave him the capacity to have an impact on humanity. And so we respect him. At the same time, when we're going to bless someone that he be successful in his endeavors, we also wish him that that success should not be his downfall. Very often a person has wealth and he hoards it and he doesn't use it properly, and in the end that wealth is a source for demands and claims from heaven. In heaven they look down and they say, we gave you so much capacity to do good. What'd you do with it? So we begin the prayer and we say, may it be the will before heaven, firstly, that our host not be shamed in the world to come. We don't want him to be shamed. We want him to do well in the world to come. And we also want him to be successful in this world. Let him be very successful in his properties. Let him be successful in his business. And Satan shouldn't take control of it. Sometimes a person is so successful, he's haughty, he has a hard time connecting with his wife. She doesn't appreciate what a genius he is. His children, his neighbors, no one knows how great he is. So he has to buy a Ferrari and he has to buy all these things. Everyone should appreciate how great he is. And then it ends up standing in his way. So we say, yes, let him be successful, but let it not be a success that's hurtful to himself and his neighbors. Let it be a success that does not involve even thought of sin. Very often the success causes a person to think about all kinds of things he wouldn't think about if he didn't have $1 million in the bank. Why is it that so many wealthy people have children who are on drugs? If you have all the money, so then you've tried every other thrill and that's not enough, so let's get something else. So when we bless him, we also pray that material blessing should be a spiritual blessing as well. Tanu Abanan, we have a braisa that was validated by the Academy of Rav Chiya and Rav Hoshaya. En mechabdin, when we want to honor someone, to say, you go first. So you want to honor someone in going first, don't honor him, lo badrachim, not when you're going on a path, you're going on a road, you're going a distance. There's no honor in being the first one to hit the sandstorm and to be the first one riding through the desert. If we're all traveling together in a caravan, there's no honor for so-and-so to be the first horse out or the first guy leading the caravan. Ve'lo b'gsharim, nor when we're crossing bridges. Ve'lo b'idayim mezuhamot, nor when it comes to washing hands, when everyone's hands are filthy after a meal, or in our day it might be after the bathroom. So you stand your turn in line. Those are areas where one is not expected to honor someone else with going first. Now the Gemara gives us a story. Ravin v'Abaye. Ravin is short for Rabbi Avin. And Abaye, you guys remember Abaye? Abaye was also known as Nachmani. He was orphaned as a baby. His father died while his mother was pregnant. His mother died at childbirth. And he was adopted by the chief rabbi, Rabbi Bar Nachmani, who brought him up. And then he became Rabbah's disciple. And then he became Rav Yosef's disciple. And he became a big rabbi. He was a Kohen. He was a descendant of Eli HaKohen. And Ravin and Abaye Havuka Azle Be'ocha. They were traveling together. Chadme Chamre de Ravin Ned Abaye. Ravin's donkey got out of hand and started charging ahead in front of Abaye. V'lo amar le'nezel mar. So they're about to start going. And proper etiquette would have been that Ravin would say, Rabbi, are we ready to go? Instead, Ravin charges off. He doesn't need to charge off. His donkey charges off. Amar midesalik haim rabbanan mimarava gas le'date. So Abaye muttered to himself, he comes from Israel. That's why he's so haughty. No manners. He's coming from Israel. That's why he just rode off and he didn't ask, maybe we should go off together. Kimata lepitra de bekenishta. When they reach the destination, they reach Shul. Amale, so then Ravin turns to Abaye and he says, Neul Mar, Rabbi, you first. Amale vad ashta lav marana. So he says, wait a second, and when we started our journey, I wasn't the rabbi. Then you rode off, you didn't think it was etiquette to say, you first. Amale hachi amar Rav Yochanan. So he said, well, Rabbi, this is what Rabbi Yochanan taught us back in Israel. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan was the chief rabbi of Israel. So Rabbi Yochanan taught us, "En mechabdin ela bepetach sheyesh ba mezuzah." You only honor someone in an entrance that's a formidable entrance, an entrance that actually has a doorpost with a mezuzah. Deit bemezuzah in, delet bemezuzah lo. If it has a mezuzah, yes. If not, not. Ela mata betaknes to bet amidrash delet bemezuzah chinami den mechabdin. So the Gemara questions. Wait a second. A shul and a beis medrash. No one lives there. Technically, they don't require a mezuzah. We put up a mezuzah, but technically, they don't require a mezuzah. A shul and a beis medrash. A mezuzah is only obligatory on a place that someone lives, that's private property, that's owned by a specific person. The shul and beis medrash are public property. Everyone learns there, and it's no one's living quarters. And technically, they don't require a mezuzah. So then, would you say that you shouldn't honor anyone, you shouldn't honor the rabbi to enter the academy first or the shul first? And says the Gemara, "Ela ema bepetach hara uilim mezuzah." It has to be an entrance that would be fitting to have a mezuzah, meaning you have a two doorpost and a top. We didn't mean literally that has a mezuzah. What he meant to say is, when you're traveling on the road, so what are you going to say? You first, all around the road. That's not the idea of respect. Respect is when you hit a doorpost. Is it a doorpost with a mezuzah, without a mezuzah? That's not the relevant point. The idea is, at the entrance to a building where there's a doorpost, then you honor a person. When you're just traveling, then this idea doesn't apply, and that's why there was no idea, there was no concept that Ravin should have offered Abaye, Rabbi, should we get going? His donkey is ready to go. He could start traveling.
What does it say in the Shema?
Al mezuzot beitecho visharecha? It's an excellent question. Why visharecha? Maybe because we all live in the Sharim. It's a good question. It's discussed in Halacha. Right. Rabba Bar Bar Chana hava asik le librei b'Rav Shmuel Bar Ketina. Rabba Bar Bar Chana was preparing his son's wedding by Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Ketina. Kadim v'yati v'kamatni le librei. So he's teaching his son etiquette. You're going to have a wedding, you're going to have a meal. So you have to know proper etiquette. Ein abotzer rashai livtzad sheichle amen mipi ha'onim. You can't start cutting the bread till everyone finishes saying amen. And we discussed this, I think, that the amen is like the extension of the blessing, and that the one who makes the blessing has to have in mind for the amen. Rav Chisda, who was Rav Chisda? Remember, Rav Chisda was also a Kohen. Rav Chisda was, his daughter was married to Rava. He was one generation up from Abaye and Rava. So a minute ago we discussed Abaye, his contemporary was Rava, who was also a Kohen. And Rav Chisda was Rava's father-in-law. Rav Chisda amar mipi rov ha'onim. Rav Chisda says, you don't have to wait, some people are going to answer their amen. Amen. You don't have to wait for all those people who take too long with their amen. Once the majority have finished saying their amen, you could start cutting the bread. Amar l'rami barchama, maishna rubada kati lokalia bracha. Why is it that if the masses, the majority of the congregants, didn't finish answering amen, so it's considered like the blessing hasn't concluded, so don't start cutting the bread. Even if you have the minority still answering amen, you didn't finish your blessing. So why don't you wait for the minority as well? Amale, he said, no. Because I believe that whoever's amen is too long is in error. And therefore, that's not really considered an extension of the blessing. He's prolonging his amen, that's not right. And now that brings us into the Gemara that describes the laws of amen. And with that, we'll have to conclude for today. Tanu Rabbanan, we have the following praisa. Enonin lo amen chatufa. A person shouldn't answer an amen that's grabbed, that it's amen. He doesn't really pronounce the A of amen. His aleph is swallowed. That's an amen chatufa. Amen. The aleph is swallowed, that's not proper. Velo amen ketufa, nor an amen that's cut off at the end. Amen. He swallows the nun. That's also improper. Velo amen yetoma, nor should he say an amen that's orphaned. If he didn't hear the blessing, he doesn't know what blessing's going on. He's walking at the shul, everyone's saying amen. He says amen. You don't know what they're saying amen to. Don't go answering amen. Velo yizrok bracha mipiv. And a person shouldn't just mutter out a blessing quickly as though he's just trying to finish it or it's a joke. A person shouldn't spit out a blessing as though he's just trying to get it over with. That's not a blessing. That's like, I want to get this over with. Benazai omer, kol ha'oneh amen yetomayu banav yetomin. Benazai gives a curse. He says, whoever answers an orphaned blessing, his sons should be orphaned. Meaning, if you say amen and you don't hear the blessing, so that's like mocking. It's like, You're not even giving any weight to, you're saying, yeah, it's true, it's true. What's true? You're mocking the whole concept. Here, the Amen is an institution. Someone saying, blessed are you, Hashem, who does something positive, who gives us good food, who gives us health, who gives us different blessings. A person says, Amen, he's mocking the whole concept of the Amen. Yeah, I don't think it's supposed to be taken literally, right? The idea is to reinforce the weight. I don't think it means literally. What? Hopefully not, right? When I was a kid, when I'd be bored and I'd want to get a mitzvah, I'd sit around saying amen. I said to myself, someone around the world must be saying a bracha, so I'll get a mitzvah. I didn't know this halacha. Okay, so I hope not, right? Kitufa, if a person says an amen where he cut off the end, yitkatfu yamav, so he cut off the end of the amen, his days should be cut off. Yitkatfu yamav vishnotav, v'chol ha'marich v'amen. And whoever prolongs his amen and says it properly the way he should, ma'arichin lo yamav v'shnotav, they elongate his days and his years, they grant him longevity. Okay, we'll pick up here Bezrat Hashem next week.